We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A new world order.
Child sex trafficking.
The deep state is trying to destroy Donald Trump's presidency.
Loose the battle plans of heaven.
It's all about control.
Broadcasting live to the world now, it's the Weekend Vigilante, Sheila Zielinski.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this Tuesday, August 29th, 2017, edition of the Sheila Zielinski Show. I want to thank all the people that emailed me over the weekend. I was just so slammed yesterday, I didn't even get my interview done, so I want to apologize for yesterday. There was no show yesterday, but hopefully today's show makes up for it. Very quickly, I will have an update in a few days on how things are going. And in the meantime, I'm really urging everyone, please do listen to the June 15th broadcast, please. It gives you some history and some context. And it's evident that coming from some of my emails, people didn't get a chance to listen to that show. So I'm asking you to please do that. If you go to weekendvigilante.com and you click also on the radio archives, you can go back to, it's either June 15th or June 16th, and it's something like, will Sheila be able to stay on the air? So do go check that show out, and it'll really give you a lot of context, and it'll also answer a lot of questions that some of you are already asking, and it covers a lot on that show. And it's not really that long, it's under 30 minutes, but it really gives you an idea of what I'm up against. And so June 15th, do go back and listen to that episode. And I've also linked it there in the description today if you're listening to this by YouTube as well or on the podcast. I know some people were totally jaw-dropped, shocked that I would say some of the things that I said on that program, but I was just, you know, coming from the heart. I think it'll really answer a lot of questions. And it's evident that judging from the amount of repeat questions, instead of me sending out 100 emails today trying to respond to that, I think it's just easier if people go back and listen. So make sure you do that. And I'm really excited about my guest because he is a good friend of the program and he is always very prolific, very astute, very articulate. He is no stranger to this program. He has been a good friend of the show. He is the author of Technocracy Rising. I got a new title, Patrick. Technocracy's here. Patrick Wood, welcome to the program, sir. It's a pleasure.
You're absolutely right. Thank you, Sheila.
Similar to me, you are a history buff. You know your history. You see things that are, you know, have been in sort of the brewing phases for years and years. We could take this back to the early 1930s. And it's amazing to me, things that have been decades in the planning are literally unfolding right before our eyes. We see this complete technocracy takeover. Now, Patrick, I just got red flagged and yellow flagged on every single one of my YouTube videos. For some reason, as of the 15th of the month, YouTube just started coming at me hard, and yet they never did give me an explanation on it. The absolute ubiquitous control of all the information. Boy, Idi Amin, Chairman Mao, Pol Pot, Stalin, and Hitler would have salivated to see this thing come into fruition. Does this confluence of everything surprise you?
Well, you know, it doesn't surprise me. I'm not taken with my guard down. But the way these things work, projects are mostly visible when they're actually being constructed. You know, when the superstructure is going up. All the planning and stuff that goes into a big project, it happens quietly. It happens under the covers, under the radar completely, until that first little foundation is laid and the superstructure starts to go up. You don't see it. What we're seeing here is a culmination of years of planning, years of jockeying for position and, you know, getting things set up and whatever. And you know, of course, now that the superstructure is going up and all the stuff is happening with censorship and Google and YouTube and Facebook, this is the product of those years of planning. And so we shouldn't really be shocked by it, but it's gathering steam. It's getting faster and faster as we go along. We're seeing more and more articles come out because people are being alarmed. They're starting to see, hey, wait a minute, something's screwy here. So we see more articles coming out about these things like Google censorship, for instance.
Oh, we're going to get into Google, or as I call them, Gulag. We're going to get into that beast for sure. But where I want to start, and it kind of ties into this, is this mock speed advancement of the transhumanist agenda, this whole immortality industry that ties in with that. God created us in his image, and now we're flipping that around, and people are just going to create God in their own image. And Christians will barely bat an eye at turning men into monsters, as Steve Quayle so aptly puts it in his book, Xenogenesis. I mean, he couldn't have nailed a better subtitle. You know, 6 days ago, I saw a headline in The Guardian, "We can't ban killer robots, Patrick. It's too late for that." They said that, in fact, they went on to say, telling international arms traders they can't make killer robots, that's like telling soft drink makers that you can't make cola. You know, you've got lethal autonomous weapon systems, unmanned combat air vehicles. You know, just look at even that SGR A1 sentry gun made by Samsung. That thing is straight out of the pit of hell. For years and years, I've studied DARPA projects. RoboCop is no longer just sci-fi. There's so much going on here. And yet, really? Tesla CEO Elon Musk is going to lead the charge in this? Where's the church on this, Patrick?
Well, you know, I look at an Elon Musk, and I get the feeling that he's very phony about this warning. He may be scared by his own creation, but remember, he's invested in one of the larger artificial intelligence companies, and he's very much up on AI. And you know, when he comes out with this, "We need to ban killer robots," the immediate assumption is, "Oh, you mean there are killer robots?"
Thanks for confirming it.
He's like confirming it, but at the same time, are they just trying to scare us to death so that we'll be panicked into another position than what we are in right now? And, you know, this is kind of like the global warming scaremongering that drives everybody into sustainable development. There's no other options. They don't give us option A or option B. No, global warming is going to kill us all. If we don't accept sustainable development, we're all doomed. You look at somebody like Musk and you say, wait a minute, do we have another Al Gore rising up here in front of us? Another, you know, super technocrat who is going to try to scare us to death to get us to, you know, to move into some other direction that they want us to move? Maybe I'm just suspicious, but, you know, I've been at this a long time. I don't trust too many people with anything anymore.
But really, a coordinated censorship attack is really being waged against the entire independent media by Gulag, Fascist Book, YouTube. I mean, after we were banned by Google I was banned by Google for nearly a week. I had all my stuff demonetized on YouTube. I mean, is this just outright Stasi style censorship, or, you know, is it a form of intimidation? What is the end game with all this?
Well, censorship certainly is the end game. But, you know, while everybody's been worried about the government, you know, doing away with free speech, who has paid attention to the Googles of the world and to the Facebooks of the world and to the YouTubes of the world? Nobody. Nobody's paid attention to these people. You know, it's the government. We got to go fight the government. Well, we've been fighting the wrong people all along. That's all I got to say. Google will do what the government could never do, because they virtually own the intellectual space in the world today on what people feed into their brains. And they're actively pursuing a course of censorship. They're doing it here. They're doing it in Europe. They're doing it in China. And it's not just Google. It's all of the, you know, companies related to Google, all of Alphabet. And the same thing is happening with Twitter, and the same thing is happening with Facebook. So this is a concerted effort by these corporate giants, these multi-billionaire tech giants, to virtually take over the world. I mean, you know, this is the whole idea of technocracy, is to apply scientific management to every aspect of society. And this is exactly what Google is trying to do. And I might add, it's just as thin as a sheet of paper.
Yeah, great point. They're taking Orwellian censorship to a whole new level, Patrick. Listen to some of these headlines. Google now banning scientists and statisticians as the search engine's war on truth ramps up. That's an article from yesterday. And then Zero Hedge reported Statistics professor Salil Mehta discovered that he'd been banned by Google. This entailed having all of his Google-linked accounts erased and rendered inaccessible. Welcome to my world, Dr. Mehta. This came as a shock to the Columbia University professor, as he had been given no reason and no warning for the total wipeout of every single one of his accounts. And now, I didn't read the full story on him, but he had something to do with polling statistics for the Trump campaign. I find that really ironic. Google insiders are warning outright censorship of the internet, and they say everyone has been intimidated into silence. Recently, don't forget, a Google employee who goes by the alias Hal spoke to Breitbart News about the political bias that runs rampant throughout the company. He said it's actually like just a bunch of Nazis over there. And let's not forget, Google-owned YouTube revealed on their official blog that they're going to take action to closely censor what they call hate speech. And with this liberal censorship running rampant in the mainstream media, in Hollywood and these zombified apocalypse college campuses, one college kid said to me, "Oh, free speech, that's so yesterday. What planet are we on when people make statements like that?" And let's not forget, just a couple months ago, Google's chief engineer, the search engineer, legitimizes a new censorship algorithm. So essentially, the focus of Google's new censorship algorithm is political news, especially from any conservative Christian sites or opinion sites. You know, they have these protocols where they deem misleading and offensive content. Well, guess what? They just come out of search engines. They're just blacklisting whoever they disagree with. So Google's chairman, he wants algorithms to censor the internet for hate speech, Patrick. Truth is the new hate speech.
Well, you know, the programs, algorithms you call them, they're written by men. They're written with a purpose. And even though they say, well, it's artificial intelligence, you know, we kind of let the machine learn by itself for what it ought to do. That's nonsense. That's bunk. Programs written by men will do what the men instruct them to do. And many of these AI programs, admittedly, are so complex now that sometimes their own inventors don't understand why they did what they did. They have to go in and analyze it for a while to figure out how did it arrive at this action when, you know, we really can't see a clear path to it. Well, there was a clear path. Once they find it, they go, oh, I get it now. You know, that's what happened. You know, A, B, and C happened, and then D and E, whatever, you know, and that's what tripped it for a particular decision. But programs written by men will do what the men want them to do. And in this case, they're automating. I re-stress this. They're automating their own biases and presuppositions to make them happen faster and more automatically than ever before. And that's what Google has done. They've reduced their biases to programs that will execute those biases on everybody that comes in contact with Google. They could never do this with just a human agent. You know, if they had a room full of, you know, people on computer screens or whatever watching traffic come and go, that wouldn't even begin to touch the problem. Google is way too big, as is Facebook, to be monitored and censored by men. It has to be done programmatically. So they simply speed up the process, and they speed up the pain and the punishment on people that they disagree with. But like Al Gore said, you remember what he said, if you don't agree with him, you are a denier and you deserve to be punished. This is the technocrat mentality. This is the mindset. Yeah, and Google is punishing us, aren't they? That's exactly what's happening.
Internet tyranny is what this is. It's out of control. And the irony, if you complain about the sexualization of kindergartners as age inappropriate, oh, guess what? YouTube will slap an age restriction on your video. In fact, Ron Paul is the latest to be demonized by YouTube. Or to quote Julian Assange, he said it's complete economic censorship. But this is total the empire of darkness, with Google acting as Skynet, really. In fact, according to Google's Perspective website, the term toxic, it's defined as an unreasonable comment that is likely to make you leave a discussion. So if you have some kind of biblical comment or any kind of passages reflecting a religious belief on marriage or adultery or infidelity, oh, you're toxic. We're not going to put up with those antiquated ideas. You're out of here. And you'll find this amazing, Patrick. All these different organizations, they labeled me as a hate group. I'm an individual, but I'm labeled as a hate group. Oh, she talks about sin. She's a hate group. You would be shocked at how many people will not. They will refuse to come on my show because that radical, hateful, vigilante, rogue, out of control, renegade, that Sheila Zielinski, she's such a hateful bigot. Oh my God, she's a Trump supporter. It is really shocking when you step back and look at what's really going on here.
Well, it is. And everybody's kind of familiar with what the Department of Homeland Security did with the so-called no-fly list that people periodically appear on, and they wonder, how on earth did I get on the no-fly list? I can't get on an airplane anymore. Once you're on the list, and you say, well, how do you get on the list? Well, Google, for instance, is sucking up information from groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center as to who is a hate group and who is not a hate group. Well, the SPLC has been almost themselves, at least to you and me, they themselves have almost been classed as a hate group by our side, because they put Christians, conservatives, Tea Party groups, stuff like that, on the hate groups. And so without any screen whatsoever by a Google grabs a hold of Southern Poverty Law Center's information and other groups too, like ProPublica, for instance, very liberal. And anybody that says that you're a hate group, like you personally, Sheila, you're on the no-fly list as far as Google's concerned. You're just on the list because somebody else put you on a list. It's not that they went out and investigated you personally and, you know, analyzed all of your content. But the minute you show up on one of these quote-unquote lists, you're going to be suppressed, period. That's it. They don't need any other reason. And this is what they're doing. This is why I say that the algorithms that they're using are not really all that sophisticated. That's not to say that they're simplistic either, but they're not nearly as sophisticated as they make them out to be, because they're always saying, oh, we're such geniuses. You know, we got PhDs writing this artificial intelligence. You know, basically, you get right down to it. I say bunk. What they're doing is they're taking lists of people and they're simply putting a prejudice mark on them. And in your case, you got on the list, you're on the list. And every time you see your name pop up or they can identify you as being you, you're going to find yourself suppressed, period. Google knows how to identify a person according to their search history, according to the IP address where their traffic originates from, and they collect all that kind of data, right? They can identify you as Sheila Zielinski without knowing your name, without seeing your face, without having any other personal information about you, just by analyzing your digital footprint, if you will, on the internet. And it doesn't take them long. So you could change your name, but they would re-identify you very quickly. It says, ha ha, that's all Sheila's out there. She's trying an end run. We know you, Sheila. We know your patterns. We know what search engine, you know, what you search for. We know what browsers you use. We know the machine ID of your computer, by the way. You know, they could tell all this stuff before they even, you know, get their first cup of coffee.
Soviet Union style. This is how the USSR controlled the public. On steroids is what this is. You know, you should be able to say any darn thing you want, and I might not agree with you, but I'll defend the right for you to say it. But even Google, talk about bullies, they're downright bullish about using AI to combat hate speech on YouTube. When you utter threats to kill someone, that's a criminal offense, so there's going to be a penalty for threatening death or bodily harm. Mind you, well, unless it's against Trump, then it just seems to be fine. Just let the harassment, intimidation, and threats fly, and there's no consequences for that, and that's a whole other show. But Google is a dangerous monopoly, more than Microsoft ever was. You know, it's amazing to me. Google has 88% share in online search and search advertising, and Google's Android operating system has 87% of global share in its category. Big tech has amassed so much political clout, and it's absolutely impervious to scrutiny. And if they want to label Sheila Zielinski as a hate group, the scary thing with this Google Skynet, which is gone now live online, virtually what they're doing is they're killing off all the conservative Christian commentators across the web. And their little AI bots, they quite literally, they go on a killing spree. They wipe out a lot of platforms. And this is what's happening right now. You know how many people have said, I can't pull your website up. It's just us offline. I mean, you get this. I get this. Our websites are down. It's crazy.
It is. And it will get worse. I have to say, they're on a They're on a tear right now. They've got the upper hand. They know they have the upper hand. And they're going to continue with this until, I don't know who could step in and stop them, honestly. They pretty much ignore whatever the government says to them. They pay the fines, maybe, but they continue with their behavior the way they want to. Sheila, I would contend that this is the mind of technocracy, this kind of behavior. And I would remind listeners that back in the 1930s, when technocracy was just getting started, in 1933, a technocrat wrote a little book that called for the incoming FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, to declare himself dictator in order to implement technocracy. They had no problem with that because they wanted to do away with all political institutions anyhow. They wanted to get rid of Congress, the Senate, the House. They wanted to get rid of the office of the presidency. They wanted to get rid of anything that smacked of parliamentary procedures where the people had a say in society. They wanted it all, 100%. They wanted to institute a dictatorship in America to implement technocracy. I will submit that that mentality is exactly the same that we see today with companies like Google. They have zero respect for people. And they want 100% control over everything. These people, to say they're megalomaniacs is an understatement. It's even worse than that. And they have gotten so big that virtually no one or nothing can stop them. And they see that. They understand that they have a monopoly. And anytime you get this close to a monopoly, I'm sorry, that you're not going to back off and say, well, you know, hey, it was fun coming this far, but you know, we're going to kind of pull back and go home. You know, we're not going to establish a monopoly and try and control the world. Nonsense. They're going to go for the juggler. That's what they're doing. They're going for the juggler. And I'm alarmed. It alarms me. Seriously alarms me. I know it alarms you. Most people that hear what we're talking about are not alarmed because they just don't understand what's going on. These people really want to control all of society. Everything you think, everything you do. It's not enough that you would just, if you work for them, it's not enough that you would write a program that would do a certain thing and do an excellent job at creating a code and stuff. No. You have to, in your personal life, you have to have the right political mindset or you will be fired. Now, this is crazy. We've never had this situation in America where you could be fired simply for your political beliefs, not for your performance. And Google is off the rails. They're just flat out off the rails. And they're not the only ones, as you know. Facebook is just as bad. And we got other companies that, like Planeter, it's like, yeah, they all want to control the world.
And they've almost done it. And Google insiders, they were warning outright censorship last year. They were saying, you know, and that's why some of the staff recently,
yes,
welcome to total global domination. This is 1984 on steroids. They're looking at ways they can detect, plan ahead, so they can suspect your patterns. One of the guys, the insiders, spoke out and said, I've created a monster. And he describes Google and Facebook's brain hacking techniques, the total digital tyranny, the hidden patent, like dirty little deeds of Google. Did you see this vampire watch? It takes your blood. I mean, there is some sick stuff going on with Google here.
There really is. And we shouldn't just exclusively pick on Google because there's a larger group of technocrats involved here. It's not just Eric Schmidt. Although I would hasten to add, Eric Schmidt is a member of the Trilateral Commission, by the way,
one of the newer
members. So he's directly plugged into the global elite. Do you suppose that he would use his position at Google to help groups like the Trilateral Commission institute technocracy globally?
Of course. Him and Zuckerberg are just, they're good buddy old pals, aren't they?
Indeed.
Think about this right now, Patrick, and this is the most disgusting story I think I've seen. Not much makes my jaw drop, but there's sex bots in brothels now that are becoming more popular than a real person. What kind of edge of lunacy are we when that's a headline?
Well, that is the edge of lunacy, literally. You know, this is the case in China. It's not just over here, but China as well, and Japan. In Japan, young couples are infrequently now willing to have sex or get married, but many men, especially men, are content to have a sex bot because they don't talk back and they can do basically what they want to do. And they figure that dealing with a woman is just too much of a hassle and they don't want the headache. This mentality where you get to this place didn't happen overnight. It happened through a process of alienation of real people over a period of probably 20 years now, where everybody's head is buried in their smartphone or in their computer social network, and people don't have human contact anymore. They've substituted real human contact for electronic phony contact. They're not the same. As you know, I don't have to tell you this, they are not the same. And people are unable to maintain human relationships, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose relationship. And that's almost whether they're good or bad relationship. It's like the whole thing has just gone downhill. But young people cannot manage, for instance, dating relationships anymore like they did 30, 40 years ago. And so they're not. They're satisfied to be on Instagram and sharing the little pictures or whatever of their food and their selfies, or they're typing messages, you know, to people who know that they don't even know, but they've kind of made a Facebook friendship or a chatbot friendship with somewhere in the world. And it's no surprise where we're at. You can't really say this was why it all started that way in the first place. I don't know if I'd go that far. But the result of it is exactly what you're talking about. People have lost their minds. They've lost the ability to relate to other human beings. I think we see this in society with things that are happening like down in Charlotte and some of the other riots and stuff that have taken place. It's the same sort of thing. Civil discourse has gone out the door. People don't know how to talk to each other anymore. They'd rather throw a rock. It's easier.
Yeah, well, that's why they want you in the stacking packs, because you won't have to throw a rock out the door in your little smart, sustainable sanctuary city, will you?
Oh, well, you won't have to throw it very far, Ellie.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of serfdom by stealth, you touched on a little bit, but get into Planetar, because that is a really disturbing company that no one knows about.
Planetar is an interesting company. One of the major investors in this company is Peter Thiel. He is a head technocrat in Silicon Valley. He really is. He's one of the guys, he's transhuman too, by the way. He wants to colonize Mars. He wants to escape the planet and go to the stars as some kind of transhuman entity. To say he's unplugged and off the rails is like an understatement again. But, you know, here he is, co-creator, if you will, with the CIA, to create this company that's so secret that nobody knows anything about it, nor can they be penetrated, nor has there ever been a leak, and they're completely secret. It's incredible. And yet, they're one of the most powerful companies in the world that's managing and massaging big data.
Isn't that stunning? And yet, no one knows about them. They're so elusive.
That's right.
Well, really, Patrick, there's nothing to fear. Fear could soon be a thing of the past, because guess what's on the horizon? Research in mice reveals a new approach to wiping out memories from the brain, and that could soon be in human trials. That's right, your biggest fears could be permanently erased. That is frightening, Patrick.
Well, the study was released that scientists are working with genetic modification to modify mice to where they don't remember fear. And somebody's going to say immediately, well, that's, you know, who cares about mice? Well, you know, I had this thought that this was the exact experiment that Nazi scientists were doing with real people back during World War II.
Yep.
They're performing these kinds of experiments. They didn't have genetic modification. They only had chemical modification. But had they had GMO with a CRISPR editing tool like they have today, we know exactly what they would have been doing back in those days. And they were trying to modify the brain of the mind of man with chemically induced procedures to manipulate their memory, to remove memories selectively that they wanted to get rid of, to plant memories that didn't exist, they weren't real, but they wanted to plant fake memories, and they wanted to restructure the human's ability to fear. That's exactly what they were doing back then. Now they do it today and everybody cheers. Oh, what a wonderful thing. No, it's not, folks. These people are the mad scientists just held over from World War II.
It's like all the reactor rods are going off at once here. This is quite the eclectic mishmash. You've got the Cloward and Piven. You've got Saul Alinsky playbook, Hegelian dialect, problem, reaction, solution. You got to go back to 1971. You've got Saul Alinsky. You know, one of the things Saul Alinsky said was he'd organize hell. It's amazing. He died almost 40 years before the election of Barack Obama. This is exactly the same tactics that Hitler's propaganda minister used. They both developed an absolute reputation for complete insidiousness. And if you look at Alinsky's 71 manual, total political warfare. What did he do? He organized poor working people in Chicago and in other cities and addressed the countercultural and civil rights activists nationwide. And what did Obama do? Community, not organizer, agitator. This is Machiavelli on steroids. Anarchist cookbook level radicalism. This is straight out of the Saul Alinsky Hell's Kitchen playbook, isn't it?
Now that you bring up the social turmoil that we have in our country, I want to point out that all of the interaction between communist and fascist, which Antifa was a movement in Hitler's day, by the way, they even copied the flag.
Yeah.
It was a communist movement to fight against the fascists, which they viewed as Hitler. Well, we all know that Hitler and the communists hated each other, and they fought against each other all during World War II. But we have the same battle being pitched today by the communist movement under the label of Antifa and the fascist movement. It's not really a fascist movement, but they're calling it that. They're saying everybody else is fascist. If you're not with us, you're fascist. And they're creating this phony economy for rioting. And I would want to point out that these are the useful idiots to people like Peter Thiel and Google's Eric Schmidt. These are the useful idiots that are breaking down society until society is too weak to resist the onslaught of technocracy at the hands of people like Eric Schmidt and Peter Thiel and Elon Musk, etc. The whole pack of them. They will eventually, Sheila, be thrown under the bus like they have been in every revolution since the Bolshevik Revolution in 1918. The people that were the useful idiots back then had no clue of the puppet masters that were manipulating them into doing what they did. And when they had achieved their purpose, the overlords, if you will, the Lenins, the Stalin types, whatever, they threw those poor people under the bus and crushed them.
Yeah.
And didn't even blink. This will be the fate of all of these people that are out there with Antifa. Thank you, Barack Obama, by the way. And all those people that are on the other side just trying to get a voice. They're fighting like cats and dogs in the street. Eventually, they're all going to get thrown under the bus. And they'll go, what happened? What happened? Never saw that coming. Well, yeah. I see this coming. You don't see, and here's one reason I say that. Have you seen one press release from somebody like a Peter Thiel commenting on what's going on in society? Or from Elon Musk? He's worried about killer robots. Is he worried about Antifa? No. How about Zuckerberg? He hasn't said anything. How about Richard Branson over in the UK, major technocrat? Has he said anything? Not a peep. See, these people are just suspiciously silent. Mm. They have nothing to contribute because they're the ones that are just hoping that when these people are done ripping society apart, they'll be able to step in and just simply take over.
Well, good thing the Democratic Party has such high standards, said the rapist to the pedophile, to the tax cheat. Look at these Democrats. Anthony, the sicko wiener, Slick Billy, the pedophile Clinton, Mr. Predator himself, the king of tax evasion. He's going to give us a moral compass, really? You got all those hucksters that are in bed with George Soros, and you got the Boston Globe and other companies. Forget crazies actors hiring now. As you and I know, Patrick, you can now rent a flash mob. Forget Rent-A-Wreck. You can rent a mob. I have been researching this company for the last month, trying to get a real person. I'm trying to hire a flash mob, Patrick, but guy hasn't called me back yet. You can hire these George Soros-funded flash mobs by this company, and we've now been researching this, and it's a fact.
We can trace money coming from outside our country to fund these organizations. We know that the money is, let's say, lack of a better term, let's call the money radicalized money. It's been dedicated to create chaos wherever it is spent. And when the big rally just took place in Boston here a couple of days ago, a friend of mine sent me a search string from the Boston Craigslist. Now, everybody knows what Craigslist is. Like a want ad for the world. And he sent me a search that had to do with hiring a protester. In other words, jobs being offered to people. There was two pages. There must have been 60 ads offering anywhere from $15 an hour to $500, $600 a week, permanent, full-time, to be a protester. These were jobs that were being offered to people And they're better than minimum wage jobs for sure. Some of them went up to $15, $20 an hour. And here in Boston, this is how they got all of the counter protesters out in Boston to try and wreck the other demonstration that was going on by, you know, the more conservative free speech side. And the whole thing was a put up. Well, where does this money come from? Who puts up the money for these jobs? Can't be me. I mean, you know, if you hire 100 people at $15 an hour, you realize you're putting out $1,500 per hour for your mob. Who has that kind of money, Sheila? We know George Soros has a habit of using his billions of dollars for things like this. But we're talking serious money here. We're talking millions and millions of dollars that somebody from the outside is throwing in. I don't know any American other than maybe the super elite like the Thiels of the world who has the kind of money that's being thrown in to these mobs, to these protesters. I just don't see where this money exists. It has to be coming from outside our country, essentially. And these are people who want to see us destroyed. And people like George Soros, who is a dedicated rabble rouser, I might stop short of calling him a communist, but he wants America to be destroyed, clearly. He wants America to be destroyed. This man should be, I don't know how you can strip citizenship from anybody, but he's a person that deserves to have his citizenship stripped. Or at the very least, we ought to get him a one-way ticket and extradite him to Hungary.
Yeah.
Where they'd like to hang him out to dry.
I laid all this out back in like 2010. I did a show on him, and I did this whole org chart. You know, the violent radical groups, the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights, the Center for American Progress, the Tides Foundation, the Apollo Alliance. I mean, Soros is behind all these energy deals. Back when we saw the cap and trade, I covered that extensively. I talk about it in my book, the Open Society Institute. You know, it's the evil little demon's philanthropist arm. SDS, Students for Democratic Society. He's funding Antifa. People need to know what this guy is all about. And you know where you don't take my word for it or Patrick's. Go study this out. Read some of this guy's books. And he's behind everything that you see going on. You know what, Patrick? If you skip past the puppets and the strings, who's the puppet master? Two words, George Soros. And I'm going to have to do another show on this guy and go back and find that one I did. It was so good. And I think it actually, well, yeah, it was part of the takedown on my old YouTube channel. But let me tell you what, this guy is a demon.
He is. He's turned out to be a despicable type of a person who knows no low in what he will do to get his way. And, you know, people, I don't know, people look at him and say, oh, that's an evil man. But on the other hand, nobody wants to do anything. Certainly our political establishment doesn't have any clue. They're not willing to do anything to stop somebody like George Soros from ripping our country apart. Of course, they didn't stop Barack Obama either. And I would ask, by the way, old Barack Obama has been suspiciously out of the limelight, hasn't he, ever since he got out of the White House?
Well, didn't he say to a Russian, I'll have a lot more flexibility when I leave office. What has our good pal Barry Satoro been up to, do you think, Patrick?
Yes, indeed. I would like to know. But these people are being suspiciously quiet, just kind of lurking behind the scenes. But but you know that they're involved with what's going on in America today, because Obama was a guy who wanted to see America destroyed as well. I really believe that. I think he was a complete phony, a put-up for the office in the first place, and he's a guy that wants to see America destroyed. He is in the pocket of George Soros. You know, he's been working out of Washington, D.C. I'd like to see somebody do a little bit of investigative reporting and find out, so who have you been having meetings with lately, and where have you been spending your time, and who's been coming and going from your new mansion in Washington? Yeah. Wouldn't you like to know? We're probably never going to find out.
Well, funny, we're talking about Mr. Georgie Soros. There's a White House petition to declare him a terrorist. I was just looking at that this morning on USDefenseWatch.com. They want to seize all his related organizations' assets under RICO. You know, we're talking about this mob mentality. Well, there's some reporters that are saying just even today, it's over there at the Tea Party website, they're talking about Antifa getting seriously organized, calling for a complete revolution, and they're releasing a list of goals. They're saying Charlottesville's got nothing on the next round of stuff that's coming. And concurrent to that, there's a Senate bill to try to silence independent media and WikiLeaks. This is just a total tyrannical takedown.
This is mob psychology, right? Yes. Whenever you get a mob started, and it doesn't matter whether you're watching an old Western movie where the mob wanted to drag somebody out of the sheriff's office and hang them by the nearest tree. But whenever you get a mob started, mob mentality takes over. There's no rationality to it whatsoever. And you can't control a mob. Once you set it in motion, the mob becomes, it gets a life of its own. And people that are expert, the community organizers of the world that are expert at creating mobs, they're like little, you know, I would call them mob bombs. Because once you create a mob and you seed it with the right kind of hatred and anger that makes it a mob in the first place, and you turn it loose, you can't ever totally predict where it's going to go, but it's going to cause damage. And that's what we see. I think that's the kind of mentality we see. These mobs have no rhyme or reason to them whatsoever. You can't speak to them. You can't rationalize with them. You can't talk them down. You can't get a ceasefire out of them, if you will. You know, like, hey, let's stop fighting for a little bit and, you know, kind of think about what's going on here. No, none of that. They won't listen. They're zombies walking around brain dead with baseball bats and chains and in some cases guns and bombs. And this is mob psychology. There's no doubt in my mind, personally, again, from a biblical point of view, we shouldn't be surprised at this kind of stuff that is happening at the hands of an adversary. That is the devil. And he is finite. He is not omniscient, nor is he omnipresent. Thank goodness for that. He's just a singular being with finite limits. However, he's a master strategist who hates the world. And he's got a cadre of people dancing to his music, people like the George Soros of the world. They're dancing to his music, and they're completely destabilizing the world. Now, I look at technocracy, by the way, from a biblical, from a prophecy standpoint. Technocracy, as it will create a scientific dictatorship, is absolutely the perfect system for the Antichrist to ultimately take over when he rises to power. Because even the Antichrist, that one person, the pseudo-Christ, he's a finite being. He's not omniscient. He can't keep personal tabs on everybody in the world, nor should he have to delegate that authority to a bunch of other mini, you know, like mini antichrists. But the system of scientific dictatorship is the perfect system for the antichrist to assume when that period of time starts in the future that we know as the tribulation period. And I believe that's coming. I don't know how far out it is. Have no clue. But I look at what's going on in the world today, and I say, yes, there are spiritual blocks being moved around here. And a dictator is not, it's not sufficient to label somebody a dictator and think, oh, we're going to have a world dictator. No. Not like that, we aren't. We're going to have a world leader who is able to control the world by algorithm, by scientific dictatorship, while maintaining an image to the entire world that he himself is Jesus Christ. That's going to be the deception. That's why he's called the pseudo-Christ. He's going to come off as being the benevolent leader of the world. Yeah. The one who's going to make everything better. I'm from the world government, and I'm here to help you.
You know? Run for your life. Well, look at how Trump is destroying everything. We need someone to step in because we need to impeach Trump. I mean, look at all these clown news networks and these liberal lemmings that are calling for Trump to be impeached on, of course, the nothing burger, as usual. Isn't it amazing? Now that they don't have the Russian concussion, that collusion delusion, they can just say racism, 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 and chant that all day until they can impeach him or at least get a team of psychologists to deem him as mentally unfit. Boy, we better get these nuclear codes away from this wingnut. You predicted some of that, Patrick.
When Trump first got elected, one of the first things that came out of my mouth, and you know, I can be happy about some of the things that Trump has done socially, perhaps, you know, in social policy domestically. But what one of the things that I said is that this president will be hounded until the day he's out of office. He will be hounded by one thing or another. It doesn't matter what the issue is. And you'll see the Russia thing come back again. They're not done with that. It's out of the limelight right this second. But that's only because of Charlottesville. You know, so there will be a succession of incidences like this that they'll continue to lob at the president. They'll continue to make accusations that are just completely off the wall. And the effect of it is going to be that it so confuses people. And the end of it, the risk is, in the end of it, everybody is going to say, you know what, we're tired of this garbage. Let's just get rid of the twerp, you know. And this isn't going to destroy Trump. this is going to destroy the office of the presidency. And I honestly, I believe this was the agenda from day one. I said that back in January, that the agenda here is not just to destroy Trump, but it's to destroy the office of the presidency altogether. Now, I can give you a little bit of anecdotal proof on that, by the way, because in January, as you know, Dr. Parag Khanna, on January 10th, released a book called Technocracy in America. And in his book, he's a professor of political science down in Singapore, by the way, but he's a darling of the global elite. They love this guy, articulate, good-looking, intelligent. His prescription for America was that democracy is broken. We need to get rid of the Senate. We need to give the Constitution to the Supreme Court for updating and modification. We need to get rid of the office of the presidency and establish a co-presidency, which would be a committee of 7 or 8 people. That's what he called for. And he called it technocracy, which is just, I could have written the book myself. He confirmed everything I've been saying for the last 4 or 5 years before that. He's come out and confirmed it. That is exactly what they want to do. The office of the presidency is up for destruction. And they're doing a pretty darn good job of it, I have to say, because that's what people are starting to say. The office of the president is simply inadequate to handle the needs of the country. So let's get rid of the presidency altogether and do something different.
Well, I'll tell you, Jesus Christ is the only answer to this mess. Patrick, in the very waning moments, give out your information for the folks on how they can check out all your great headlines. I try to go there once a day. It is fantastic. You've got great articles. In fact, I just started a Green Gospel Facebook page, and I share a lot of your handiwork. So give the information out for the folks.
I love it. My handiwork. That's good.
It is very good handiwork, folks.
I know it is. Well, my website is technocracy.news, not .com. It's .news. And everything that you need to know about technocracy is right there. And if you don't know anything about it, click on the quick start guide at the top of the page, and you'll get just a single page. It'll give you some talking points about what technocracy is, so you can get an understanding. My books are available. Technocracy Rising is available on my website, on Amazon as well. And Trilateros Over Washington is now also available, which has been out of print for 37 years, as
wow.
You know. I think, did we mention that before, Sheila?
I don't think I knew that.
Well, Trilateros Over Washington was banned, blacklisted. I'm not new to blacklisting, by the way. They blacklisted us back in 1980-81,
wow.
And B. Dalton Booksellers kicked us out of their entire network. And so Trilateros Over Washington has been out of print for 37 years, but fortunately now it's back. And so that's in print, and that's available in one volume now on my website, Trilateros Over Washington. That was authored, by the way, with the late Professor Anthony Sutton.
One of my favorite authors. And I have that book. And I'll tell you what, folks, get those two books together. You know, we might be preaching to a lot of the choir out there, but buy books, buy Patrick's book, give it away to your pastor, give copies to your friends. I'm going to tell you what, he lays out such amazing information in this book. Patrick, it's always such an absolute pleasure. Always really enjoy you coming on this show. Thank you, sir.
You're entirely welcome, Sheila. Thank you for being brave and standing up to companies like Gulag.
Hey, I made a meme, by the way, of Gulag, and now I see everybody's using my meme. I think my meme went viral. So, hey, the ultimate form of flattery is plagiarism, right?
You're exactly right. You hit a home run.
Thanks, Patrick. It was even better than my fascist book meme. I'm the meme whisperer. There you go. Hey, thank you, everyone, for taking the time to tune into the program. We are out of time, but let me tell you, tomorrow, Dr. Michael Lake, it is going to be fantastic. And I got confirmation that Joe Arpaio is supposed to be coming on my show. Let's hope that I get confirmation on that, because that's going to be a fantastic show. And Rodney Howard Brown is coming on as well. It's going to be a fantastic week. And on Thursday at the end of the show, I'm going to give everybody a little update on what is going on with the show. Be sure to find out. We will see you next time. Good night and God bless.